This morning to Titus chapter 2, and certainly want to beg an interest in your prayers. I want to read the first 8 verses of Titus chapter 2. The Apostle Paul writes unto Titus and says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things shewing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of a contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." Whenever I think of a good mother, there's a lot of images that pop into my mind of blessed homes that I've been able to be in throughout my life. I suppose there's no other happier place that I can look back on with fonder memories than the days that I spent in my grandmother's house whenever I was just a little child. And me and my sister and my cousin spent the days there during the summer. There's not a summer that rolls around that those memories don't pop into my head. There's certain times of the year where memories become more vivid. And when it starts to get warm and school's getting out, I start thinking about those days at Grandmama's house when the pears were starting to get ripe on the trees and we'd eat so many of them on the first day that we were up there, we'd every one be sick to our stomach. But nevertheless, we were so happy to be able to just spend the day barefoot, running around in the yard. Those time of years, those times of the year always bring those memories back to my mind. You know, and on the same note, as you roll around towards Labor Day now, and I know I've told many of you this many times, but Labor Day used to be the first day of school. They didn't start in August whenever we were coming up. It was Labor Day whenever we started school. And those ho-hum days, I start to even feel it in the air now, knowing that years ago that was when we had to start back school. And I didn't look forward to that, not none whatsoever. And so whenever I think of a happy home, of a glorious home, one of the things that matches the home and that is there each and every time that I have those memories is a good mother and a good mama. And if the Lord will be with us this morning, I'd like to take a look at what the Apostle Paul wrote unto Titus about concerning how to have a happy family at the house of God. Each and every aspect of the family of God is mentioned here in these verses that the Apostle Paul writes unto Titus about. He writes unto him about a minister. He tells him things that a minister should do and the type of person that the minister should be. He talks about the aged men, the aged women, the young women, and the young men. Every group is contained here in these verses that are given here. What does that show us? It shows us that he's addressing how to have a happy family of God. That's what the church of God is consumed of. It's a family of God. I know that we've got our individual, smaller, immediate families that are maybe here together. But as a whole, we're talking about the church of the living God, the family of God here, the local gathering. If you'll remember in the 12th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching in the synagogue, they came to him and said that, "Thy mother and thy brethren seek for thee." He said, "They seek and ask for thee." And he said, "Who are my brethren? And who is thy mother? Who is my mother? Who are they that ask it?" And he says, "The ones who do according to the will of my Father which is in heaven, they are my mother. They are my brothers." He's referring to us as a family. That's the reason why I love the language that the people of God use in the Primitive Baptist. Brother so-and-so. Sister so-and-so. Because it's not just about whether or not they're your literal kin brother, your literal kin sister in Christ. You're my brother in Christ. In Christ, you're my sister in Christ. Have you ever thought about the first words that the brother at Antioch spoke, that Ananias spoke unto the Apostle Paul? Whenever the Apostle Paul was on his way to Damascus, on his way to slay more of God's people. Slay more of God's people. That the Lord struck him down on that road and told him to go to Antioch. And whenever he got to Antioch, the Lord had already warned Ananias and told him, he said, "You go to a man named Saul of Tarsus." And I tell you, Ananias had already heard the rumors of Saul of Tarsus. And he says, "You're sending me to the one that's been killing our people?" And the Lord says, "Yes, you go unto him." And what is the first thing that you read that Ananias said unto the Apostle Paul? "Brother Paul. Brother Paul." And that's coming from one whose description of this man was one that was slaying God's people, but he called him brother. He's referring to him as a family. How do I have a happy family? And I tell you, if we'll follow God's word, if we'll be the type of people that God has charged us to be, we'll have a happy family at the house of God. He says to the apostle, he says to the minister Titus, he said, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Become it. You know, there's some learning to do whenever you see that word "become" in Scripture. We got some learning that we have to do whenever we say and we see that word "become" sound doctrine. Whenever we use that word in our modern day language, a lot of times we're using it to mean that it makes something. When you become something, you've been made something. But that's not the way that the Lord uses the word "become" in God's Word. And it's important that we understand that before we ever even go through any of these things that the Apostle Paul has told Titus to teach these people, the type of people that they should be, is that the preaching of the gospel doesn't make you these things. The preaching of the gospel does not make sound doctrine. The preaching of the gospel should manifest what you are already inside. You know, the best proof text that you can go to show what become is and to give it a definition, first of all, is the one we've just read. And also over in John chapter 1. Go with me over to John chapter 1 before we go through these listed here in Titus chapter 2. And let's take a look here at what the Apostle John wrote of concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says over in the first chapter of the Gospel according to John in the 11th verse. And we're going to get back to Titus chapter 2, so you can hold your finger there if you're following along with us. But the Scripture says that he came into his own, in verse 11, he came into his own, and his own received him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Now you want to know a perfect text that somebody who thinks that you have to believe in God in order to be a child of God is going to go to? They're going to take you right here every time. They're going to take you to this verse of Scripture and says, he came into his own and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. When they believed, they became children of God. Even to those that believe on his name. It takes belief. Your response should be to keep reading. To keep reading the next verse. Which were born. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Which were born. That means that they already were born before they believed. Which were born. And it was not by blood. It was not by the will of man. It was not by the will of flesh. But they were born from above. They were born of God. So what does it mean to as many as received him? To them gave he power to become the sons of God. They manifested what they were whenever they believed on the Son of God. They manifested that God belonged, that they belonged to God. They manifested that. What do you say to, what was it that people used to say years ago whenever they saw a lady dressed in a nice outfit? It says that dress becomes her. That dress manifests what she already is. That dress didn't create her to be pretty. That dress manifests her beauty. It's the language that we should think of whenever we see that word become. And whenever the Apostle Paul is telling Titus to speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, he's not saying that your speech is going to make sound doctrine. The Lord Jesus Christ made sound doctrine when he established the church of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. But the preaching of the gospel can manifest sound doctrine in the people that belong to God. And that's exactly what he's telling the minister Titus to do. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And then he goes into several verses that teach us the type of people that we should be. You know, I was talking to a minister one time who felt a need to speak on the subject of fornication and adultery. And he said he was a little nervous about how to approach the subject. And he said, I really am wondering whether or not we need to have a special afternoon service and reconvene after lunch for me to preach on this subject. And I said, well, I don't say that, you know, that there's no profit in an afternoon service if you feel a burden to speak upon something, but why do you feel the need to speak on that outside of the context of your normal worship service? And he said, well, I'm a little nervous about approaching a subject full of that much duty during our normal worship service. And I said, well, don't let that drive you. Because the Scripture plainly teaches us that there's things that need to be said, and the Lord calls men to say them unto the people of God. And you don't have to have a special service to preach the things which God outlines as being sound doctrine. And that means it's duty. Duty is sound doctrine. Duty is sound doctrine. Praise be unto the Lord that whenever we hear a minister of the gospel tell us the things that we should do, and the things that, when the type of people that we need to be, that we dig our heels in and say, Lord, bless me to be the type of man that thou would have me to be. Bless me to be the person in the household of faith, in the family of God, that would bring forth a happy family. A happy family. The first one he addresses, he talks about the minister in verse 1, verses 7 and 8. He talks about the aged men in verse 2. The aged women in verse 3. The young women in verses 4 and 5, and the young men in verse 6. It says that the aged men. Does anybody want to throw a number out there? before we start, and go ahead and let's set a, we can set a line, if you will. We can put a line in the wall behind me back here and say if you're below it, you're young. If you're above it, you're aged. No, I don't think that would be profitable. What you need to see there is that thy experienced men, aged men. If you look around here today and there's a lot more of the men who are younger than you than are older than you, you're in this group. That means that you ought to be experienced. You ought to be considered yourself as being aged in the household of faith. That means that you've lived and walked here on this earth long enough to know what works and to know what doesn't work. And you can give somebody some help to show them what'll work. To show them what'll work. You know, it never fails whenever my daddy comes up to help me with something at my house. That I've already tried something that ain't worked. That I'm trying something that's not working. And he comes there and he says, you shouldn't have tried that. You shouldn't have tried it like that. Let me show you a better way to do it. You know, the first thought that crossed my mind is I'd love for you to have been here whenever I needed to get this done the first time. And I wouldn't have tried it like this the first time. But it's because he's already been there. He's already tried those things. He's already tried a lot of things on his own. And he's already learned the hard way that that's not the better way to do it. And if we're the type of people that we ought to be, whenever we see our brothers and sisters in need of some advice, we don't say, let them learn on their own. Let's kick them to the curb and let them learn on their own. We ought to be willing to say, I've done that before. I've tread through those waters before, and they've almost overcome me. But God blessed me to get through it. So let me show you something so that you won't have to drown yourself. That the aged men, the experienced men, would be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. You know, whenever you see the word sober in Scripture, it doesn't always carry the same exact definition. But in general, it's talking about a mind frame. Whenever you think of sober here in this world, you're thinking about free from alcohol. And it's used in that context here in these eight verses. But what's one thing, what's the biggest distraction that alcohol can do? It can distract you and distort your mind and your train of thought. You go and listen to men that have had to visit the organization here in this world that helps people remove their dependency from alcohol. And one of the things that you'll hear in their stories is you'll hear about the things and the decisions, the things they did and the decisions they made while they were under the influence of that substance, how they wish they could go back and change some of those. I'll tell you what, you don't have to go to alcohol. You don't have to go to AA to hear that. There's a lot of us that wish that there's a lot of decisions that we made in our life that we wouldn't have made. And I tell you, to be sober-minded means to be serious-minded, to be spiritually-minded, to be sober, to be grave. That's grounded. To be grave. The word gravity comes from grave, and it means to be grounded in the things that you need to be grounded in here and in this life. To be seriously-minded, to be grounded, to be temperate, to be reserved, and to be sound in faith. And in charity and in patience. You know, primitive Baptists love that terminology, do they not? Is he sound? Is he sound? You know, that makes some people mad. They always wonder, why is everybody always wondering if they're sound? Well, there's a reason why. It's because it's a biblical word. It means that their understanding of the truth is free from error. That means that they can comprehend the truth that is in God's Word and that there's no error contained in it. It's not means that it's indeed truly perfect. It just means that it's not distorted by the errors that exist in this world. That is sound in faith. Sound in the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Sound in the truth according to God's Word. And the aged men should set their goals upon being sound in the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So that if Brother Will or anybody else ever stands up here and proclaims anything that is not contained in this Word or something that you've not heard explained that way before, you ought to at least turn your head and kind of say, I've never heard it explained that way before. It's not that it may be wrong every time. It just means I hadn't heard it that way before. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a checks and balances system that's supposed to exist between the pulpit and the person on the pew. And any time you ever have one wanting to override the other to the point that there's no checks and balances, you've got some trouble there. Sound in faith and in charity and in patience. You know, one of the things that daddies fail at, that aged men fail at more than anything, sound in faith. Sound in charity. Sound in patience. Charity is the showing forth of love. Charity is the showing forth of love. And whenever we think of a man, a lot of times, we think of people that keep their emotions bottled and caged within. Not willing to, at times of need, shed a tear. At times of sorrow, shed a tear. I tell you what, you know, there's certain movies now that whenever I watch, no, it's not the ones that you're thinking of. Say, Brother Will is getting all soft towards the love films and stuff. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about films where I see somebody having a battle in life, and they're having to battle their way through it. When they finally get to the other side, I tell you, you might see a little tear come up in my eye whenever I see somebody striving to do their best, and they're being challenged by every adversary in this world. Just like the Apostle Paul said, I have an effectual and an open door open unto me, and there are many adversaries, and when God blesses them to get through it, I tell you, it touches me in a special way. And the Scripture says that the aged men are to be sound in faith, sound in charity, sound in love. That means that they're willing to show somebody the way that they feel about them, so that whenever they need advice, they're not hesitant to come to you. You know, one of the dangers that we could have is one of these days that one of your children really truly needs some daddy advice. And because you've never shown them what you have that dwells in your heart, they don't think that they're going to benefit at all by coming and talking to you about it. They're not going to know that you truly indeed love them. They're not going to know to lean on you in times of need. He says, in sound in faith and in charity and in patience. The aged men at the household of faith. I tell you, the Lord has given us the instructions on how to have a happy family. How to have a happy family. And you know, you can take these and you can not only apply them to the household of faith, you can apply them to your own doors. Wherever your address is, that the Lord will that the letters come in the mail to. No matter what house we're talking to, these instructions stand the same. That the aged men, that the men of experience, would be willing to shew forth these qualities that God has given us here to the benefit of those around them and to the glory of the Almighty God in heaven. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, so that they manifest that God's dwelling is there within. I tell you, that's one of the things that drew me to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ more than anything, is that whenever I came through those doors, I saw these things portrayed. And I tell you, it wasn't because I could take them and say, man, y'all are Titus chapter 2 type of folks, but I knew that what I saw was opposite of everything else I saw in all the other religions around this world. I knew there was something special there. I knew that those that dwelt there had something special about them. That the aged men would be sober and grave and temperate, sound in faith and charity and in patience. You know, I was talking to Brother Brad the other day and telling him some things. He and I were discussing some church things that he is working on and laboring in down in Gray. And over again, probably during that conversation, I bet I used patience. I bet I used it more than any other word. And it wasn't because he wasn't willing to do it. It's just because we need to be reminded of that more and more, especially in this day and time. There's things that, according to the time in which you live, are a little easier to teach. I've said this before. This day and time, it's probably pretty difficult to teach a lot of people about the doctrines of election and the doctrine of God's sovereignty. Why? Because our society believes that everybody deserves something. Whenever we teach them about a God who gives according to His will and not according to the will of man, and that all of us are indeed not deserving of anything, I tell you, that's going to hit right in the face of what society teaches today, and that is that everybody deserves something. Another thing that's hard to teach this day and time is patience. Patience. Because everything happens at the speed of light. Everything. You can find out in... you know, you used to at least have to watch a few minutes of the news to find out whether or not the Braves won the night before. But now all it takes is just logging on and going to the homepage of AJC and seeing whether or not they won. It happens just like that. You can check the weather just like that. You can have everything. You can have what restaurant menu that you think you may want to eat at just like that. But the Scripture says and teaches us that not everything that is worth having in this life comes just like that. There's some things that are worth waiting for. There's some things that are worth being patient about, and the aged men are the perfect ones to teach that to the younger men and to the congregation of the family of God. To be patient. To be patient and wait on God to open a door as opposed to you plowing through it. There's been some holes in the wall put in my life, and it's not even a door anymore. It's just an open hole in the wall that I plowed through because I wasn't patient enough to wait on God to build a door and open up a door. That the aged men would possess these qualities. I tell you that we would have the patience, as the Scripture teaches us, the patience of Job. You know, we've all heard that terminology before, and here before long, we'll be in the book of Job. And if you're following along with the reading that the rest of us are following, you'll read about the patience of Job. And here we read what qualities the aged men should possess. It says that the aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. You know, one of the devices of Satan today is to be able to convince us that the Scriptures were written for people that lived in a different day and time, and that there's no application to our day and time. You know, when I read through these things that the Apostle Paul is warning the people of God about and telling them what not to be, I'm thinking, man, these things are just as relevant and applicable to our society as any other thing that I've ever read. He mentions here about the danger of wine. Not being given. That means not being dependent upon wine. You know, this it used to be that there was at least one day in the week where you could be free from the concern and care of whether or not somebody that you were driving to meet on the road was under the influence of alcohol, at least from the standpoint of not being sold that day. You know, they used to preserve Sunday as being a day set aside that there was supposed to be no alcohol sold on that day. Well, then they slowly chipped away at it, and they hit first at the restaurants, and they said if a restaurant will serve a certain amount of portion or percentage of their sales is in food, then they can sell alcohol on that day. And then they eventually got it to the point where just about anywhere you can go, you can buy alcohol on Sunday. And I'm not crawling on a hobby horse this morning. I'm not telling people, I'm not getting political with you. I'm just telling you, it used to be a day and time where the people recognized that the Lord had set aside a day. That even though the foolishness of this world didn't stop completely, at least people were willing, in the majority, were willing to recognize that there was a day that was set aside to put aside all those things of the world. And here in these verses, he warns the aged women and to tell them to not be given to much wine. Not given to much wine. Both the aged men and the aged women, the warning comes that Satan can attack your mind. He attacks the mind through the devices of this world and encourages the men to be sober. He encourages the women not to be given to much wine, to be part of a behavior that is becometh in holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, and teachers of good things. And teachers of good things. The charge to teach is a good study throughout God's Word. You'll read the word teach used and taught, used in the context of what the Lord does to us in the new birth. The Lord teaches us His holy commandments in the new birth and writes them upon our hearts and upon our minds so that we know what the commandments of God are. You know, the Apostle Paul told the church at Thessalonica concerning brotherly love, "You have no need that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." Who's the teacher there? God. In John chapter 6, verse 45, "As it is written, they shall all be taught of God." Who's the teacher there? God is the teacher there. There's one context of teaching contained in God's Word. We're taught that a minister of the gospel must be apt to teach. That means to expound upon the things that are contained in God's Word in a way in which would bring us greater understanding of the ways of God. But that's not the only teaching that takes place. The Scripture says that aged women are to be teachers. Teachers. You know, it's a shame that a lot of people have taken this to mean that a woman is supposed to be a public teacher at the house of God. And that, you know, that to have meetings where you invite sisters to come and to have a sister stand up there and teach them is something that God intended whenever He wrote this. It was not. It meant that the aged women are to be teachers of the younger women in the way that you would teach a daughter or a daughter-in-law. You know, if you think back about the things that you've learned from your mother or from your mother-in-law, or if you think of things that you've taught to your daughter and to your daughter-in-law, was it in the form of public teaching, or did you learn more from them across the table at a lunch? Or did you learn more from them by experience of spending time doing things, whatever it was that you were supposed to be engaged in, that you would literally be there helping them in those things, and that you would learn accordingly in that form of method? You know, the aged women are to be teachers of the younger women. You know, there's things that there's only so many things sometimes that a preacher can say. You know what I mean? There's things that women need to talk to women about that a man don't need to talk to a woman about. You know that? There's needs that a woman has that another woman can talk to them about that I ain't got any business making a comment about, neither does any other man. But an aged woman can talk to a younger sister about those things, and that is necessary and needful for those sort of things to go on, that they would teach the younger sisters. That's one of the best, as I mentioned whenever I start today, one of the portraits of my mind of a happy home is a good mother. And what is one thing that a good mother does with a daughter? She teaches her the things that she needs to know. She teaches her and warns her against the things that she needs to be warned about in this world. And I want to tell you, young sisters, there's a lot to be warned about that can happen to you out in this world. A lot of it. And I want to tell you, it doesn't mean that I need to stand up here and say every single warning that needs to be brought forth. But I tell you, mama needs to say it to a child. The dangers that exist from the form of communication in this world. You know, we don't have in our house, you know, we've all got the electronic devices. But they all got passwords on them, and their mama has the password to them. You know, whenever they go and they think that they can take some type of iPad or tablet or any other kind of laptop computer and go in a corner, and they may not have the first inclination to do anything wrong with it, but that doesn't mean that somebody on the outside doesn't. That somebody on the outside doesn't and can't tap in there and carry on a conversation that is completely unnecessary with a young woman. I tell you, there's dangers out there. You know, we've just gotten done bringing up a whole slew and a crop of our young sisters here at Macedonia through college, and only lack just a little bit with one more. And I tell you, what are the dangers that exist out there today? There's a ton of them. There's a ton of them that exist and that need to be spoken about. They need to be spoken about by a woman to a woman. They need to be told that there's danger there. And I tell you, whenever you're warned about these things, and God blesses you to think about them whenever those temptations come and you're delivered through them, what joy can arise and can come forth because you've abstained from the things that were contained therein. I tell you, the women need to teach the women. If you wonder why Brother Will is an encourager of eating on the grounds twice a month, you know, I'm not an encourager of it every Sunday, because you can wear your sisters out, and unless some of us brethren are wanting to pick up the other two Sundays, and some of us are going to want to hold our nose while we eat whatever it is that we can cook twice a month, seems like it'll work good for me. But why? It's because they need to spend that time with one another. I need to spend it with the congregation to make sure that their needs are being met and how they're doing concerning their faith. The communication needs to be there. You know, a lot of times we can forget that there's a lot of us a long way from what we call home. We're a long way from where mama and daddy are, from where grandma and grandpa are, and the only communication that we have is with the people at the household of faith concerning spiritual things. It doesn't happen week in and week out from the terms of going over and dropping the grandkids off and having those conversations that a lot of other people have. It doesn't happen like that. So where do you have it? At the household of faith. And I tell you, God's Word teaches that the aged women, that they would be teachers of good things to the younger sisters. That they would teach them to what? That they would teach them to be sober. There you go again. You see the warning in almost every single one of them. Sober concerning a state of mind to be in. Sober. To love their husbands. To love their children. To be discreet. Chaste. Keepers at home. Good. Obedient to their own husbands. That the Word of God be not blasphemed. You know, when we see here the list of criteria that God has laid out for young women to possess, it doesn't look very hard to do. Whenever you see here, well, I love my husband, I love my children, I love them. I curb my carnal desires. which is what it means to be discreet. It means that you're able to curb the desires of the flesh. You're able to maintain your discretion. You're able to keep yourselves from the things of this world. Pure from carnality is what it means to be chaste, to be a keeper of the home. That means to tend the things of the home. You know, a lot of times whenever we see that whenever we can see what the device of Satan is, we can see how to conquer it. And one of the devices that Satan uses is to get everybody in the home involved outside of the home, and nobody tends to the home, and the home crumbles apart. Boy, they got all kind of stuff out there to do outside the home. And it's tempting, especially for those of us who have kids. It's tempting. I enjoy watching my child play ball. I enjoy coaching him to play ball. I enjoy watching my little girl do ballet. I haven't gotten to see her do it much, but I enjoy watching it. I think it's good for her, and I love to see her smile whenever she does it. Whenever I ask her one of her favorite things to do, she tells me to dance. And I want to tell you, I love to see her do those things. But you know, if you don't find a moderation in those things, and Satan is able to completely encompass your mind to draw you outside the home for this all the time, and all you do is spend all your time outside the home and you neglect it, what you're failing to do is to keep the home. Keepers at home. Keepers of the place where the Lord has blessed you to be able to have a child, to have a husband. Keeper there. I tell you, our homes need some keeping. Our homes need some tending to. And the aged women are to teach the younger women these things, to be these things, to have a happy home, to have a joy in the Lord. He follows up by saying that they are to be good and obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You know, one of the things that I heard on the radio the other day is that women in the world could not believe that, and I forget who it was, but it's one of the main actresses that was there whenever, that used to play on a show whenever I was younger. So that's the reason why it caught my, and I forgot the name of the show, but nevertheless, that's what caught my ear. But I was like, I used to watch that show. Who's talking about? And she had the nerve to say that she was submissive to her husband and let the world hear it. She had the nerve to say that and let the world hear it. And you'd have thought that she drug out a cane and went to beating one of her children with it, the way she got treated. Who would dare make such a claim as to be obedient to their husband and to be submissive to their husband? Who would dare say that they believe they have a godly home and that they live that way? And I tell you, child of grace, today, if you fall in the ways of the world and expect for them to give you their approval on the way that God says to live, you're waiting on something that's not going to happen. You're trying to serve two masters. And there's some things that Scripture plainly says that you cannot do. A man cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot do those two things. You'll drive yourself crazy. God outlines here how to have a happy home, mothers. How to have a blessed home, mothers. I tell you, there's not a more fitting day to recognize somebody that has meant so much to me as a mother. Happy Mother's Day. And it means so much to their children. The glue that holds it all together. And I tell you over and over again, whenever you look at the portrait of a happy home, you look at healthy, healthy mothers and their relationship with their children. Healthy mothers and their relationship to their husbands. And I tell you, the Lord here, He outlines, look at the number of characteristics that are given towards these young women and aged women versus the ones given to men and the young men. And it doesn't mean young men that it's any less important. He's just telling us that the women don't have an easy job in front of them. They need all the encouragement they can get. They need all the love shown to them that they can get. And the thing that the young men are charged to remove themselves from are to be, they're exhorted to be sober-minded. You know, we planted some roses at my house yesterday. And I was down there on my knees. I'd already dug the hole for it. And because I was, you know, there's things that whenever you try to cut cost on at one point in time, it'll come back and get you later on. Whenever we build our house, I use the cheapest field dirt around the basement that you could find. So now whenever I plant a plant, I have to go buy dirt to put down in the hole before I put the plant in there. So I dug through all that old orange clay, tracked it all over the carport out there and everything else. So that'll take extra effort to have to wash it off later on instead of the normal dirt that we have out there. But I was bent over and I had that big old hole open and I had it full of topsoil ready for that rose bush to go down in it. And I told Billy to go bring it to me. And he went and he grabbed it. He grabbed that rose bush by the base of it. So you can imagine, you know, it stung him. It got thorns on it. And he said, man, he said, why do you think that something so pretty would have a rose on it? I said, the Lord is teaching you a lesson there. That sometimes things that are pleasing to the eye, they'll stick you. They'll cause you a lot of grief and a lot of pain. The Lord is teaching you a lesson through something as pretty as a rose. That they would be sober-minded. That means that they would curb their carnal desires. And that teaches a young man to curb a lot of those things that are going on in their minds and that go on in their bodies as they come up. They need to learn to curb them and to refrain from those things. You know, I was talking to whenever I told somebody at my office who doesn't attend church, that I had gotten Allison some roses for Mother's Day and that I had to plant them. He made the same comment about, he said, why do you think God would create something that was so pretty but yet had thorns on it? And I said, thank you, Lord, for that door. We're going to see if we can walk right into it and try to talk to him a little bit about the scriptures. And I told him, I said, the Bible plainly says that those who follow God walk by faith and not by sight. If you'll go back to the book of Genesis in the 3rd chapter, what you'll see is that Eve, what? She saw that tree, that it was good for fruit. If you go over to the story of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, whenever Lot and Abraham parted ways, what did Lot do? He looked towards the plains of Mamre and saw that they were watered. He saw something with his eyes. David, upon the rooftop, whenever he saw Bathsheba down there bathing, what did he do? Instead of refraining from going to a rooftop to see what he could see, he went up and he looked upon it. He looked upon it. Things that we see here in this world are not always the things that are best for us. Things that God has said, you trust me by faith in, are better for us. That the young men would be sober-minded. How to have a happy family. I'll tell you, there's nights that Satan gets us so contorted and distorted at our house. And you know, you sit back and if you're able to take a deep breath every once in a while, you'll see that every one of these things that the Apostle Paul has told Titus and outlined here, they're not there. They're not there then. But whenever you see that it's time to attack it by not going after one another in the home, but going after ourselves and saying, what type of person should I be so that my home can be happy again? These are the type of things and the type of characteristics that we should shoot forth. The charge sits on my shoulders in verses 7 and 8. For me, as the pastor, as he was writing unto Titus, for the minister, to shew thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of a contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. That certainly doesn't outline somebody that's perfect. But the charge still stands that the minister, if he's going to tell somebody to do something, he ought to be willing to do it first himself. That's one thing that the Lord has taught us through His life. He's never charged us to be anything that He wasn't. He's trudged through the life of this, through this sin-cursed world, and lived a perfect life, and He's charged us to follow in His footsteps just as He walked here in this life. And He tells the minister that he is to be a pattern of good works, that he is to be the pattern in the way that he understands the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it being uncorrupt, to be grounded in the truth, to be sincere, to have sound speech that cannot be condemned. You know, I'm thankful there that the criteria that's laid forth doesn't say to have perfect English. You know, I tell you, I need all the help I can get with that, but it's not the most important thing. It's sound speech that cannot be condemned. In other words, an effective way of communicating with the people that he stands before week in and week out. God has shown us here how to have a happy home. A happy home. Who are my brethren? And who is my mother? And he told them, he said, they are they which do the will of my Father which is in heaven. I tell you, the charge has been given us to be the type of people that God would have us to be. Never ever, if we're blessed with this book, should we make the claim against God that we don't know. That we don't know how you'd have us to be. You know, I heard a minister say the other day that he truly didn't know how to abstain from some of the things growing up because his pastor didn't preach on it. Had to abstain from certain things. I admit that we need the preaching of the gospel to continue to remind us of things that would cause us danger. But you know, even in this word, we've got the warnings. We've got the things that God has listed that has shown us of things that will cause us trouble. In closing, I want to make mention of the one thing again that's mentioned in all of those criteria. Something of the mind. Something about being sober and to be and to abstain from being given to much wine, and things along the lines of a sound mind are given in each and every characteristic in the minister. It's given in the in 1 Timothy chapter 3. It's given in the aged men, the aged women, the young women, and the young men. Satan's got a battle against a tool or against an organ in your body that if he can overcome, the rest of the limbs are easy to whip, and it's your mind. It's your mind. You know, we need more things to purify our minds. You know, I make mention of things I've heard on the radio, and I pray that I'm wary enough to know that if that's all I do is listen to it, I'm not setting myself up very well to have a pure mind. But at the same time, I at least like to be a little bit familiar with what people in the world are hearing. It's not that I leave it on all the time. I like to hear good sermons. You know, that's one thing that our day and time we've got that people didn't have years ago. They didn't have access to an unlimited number of sermons that exist on the internet and exist where you can download them onto your phone and every other way. There's a way to keep yourself, there's a way to download the Bible on your phone. I know people that say that they get there, not only do they read it literally, but they can listen to the whole Bible being read to them in a year's time because they have it on their phone, and that's what they listen to going to and from work. May the Lord bless us to have and focus upon all these things so that we can be a happy family. But most of all, may we set it upon ourselves to address that one thing that's mentioned in all of them about our mind and conquer that and purify our minds, keep our minds pure from the things of this world so that we can be the type of people that God would have us to be. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning, and I pray that if anyone's received anything of the message, that we would be mindful to give God all the honor, praise, and glory for it.
And of sorrows one of them, for the Son of God who came, ruin sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Every shame and suffering Sir.